Begin the current daf and stuff, but Metzia daf mem. Begin 11 lines down from the top of the Yamud. But the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah on the theme of this Perek HaMafkid, which the halacha is that apply to somebody that gives a deposit to somebody else to watch for him. So the Mishnah tells us a specific halacha. HaMafkid Peres Etzel Chaveru. If someone deposits something, an item of his, by his friend to watch. So says the Mishnah, Harei Zeh. So this guy, the Shomer, when he returns it to the owner, Yoyti Loi Chisroinis. He takes away, he diminishes from what he's going to return to the original owner, how much it usually depreciates by. And the Gemara is going to explain that we're talking about specifically where he mixed that guy's stuff with his own stuff, so he doesn't know exactly, can't just give it back as it is, because else just give it back, whatever depreciated, give it back. But he had mixed his produce with his own produce, and he was watching it together. Now, since it diminishes at a certain rate according to the amount of time that passed, so then when he gives it back according to that proportion. As the Mishnah explains some of the measurements. L'chitim ula oiriz, for wheat and for millet, satisha chatzoi kaven l'kor. So it diminishes an amount of nine half kaven to a kor, which is around 2.5% of the amount, diminishes over time. So that's how much you take away when you give it back to the guy who gave it to you to watch. Whereas l'sa'ar n'l'daychen, for barley and for daychen, which is Rashi says patel, which is similar to iris, to millet, is tisha kav in l'kor, is 9 kav for a kor, which is more of a depreciation. L'kus min l'zer pishtan, for spelt and for flaxseed, is shalish saw in l'kor, is 3 saw for a kor. Says the Tanakhama, hakoy l'fi hamida, everything is according to the measurements. In other words, this applies to every single kor. We were just giving measurements based on the kor, how much you take away. If it's 2 kor, so then it's double. 3 kor, then it's 3 times the amount. And also, hakol lefi hazman. And everything is according to the amount of time that he gave it to this guy to wash it for. Because this amount that you take off is according to every year. That's how much is diminished according to that amount. And that a year, so the more measurements and the more time, that's how much more you take off when you give it back to the person, to the mafkid, to the one that gave it to him to wash. Now, however, Amr b'yichim and Nuri, he disagrees regarding this, that the Tanakhama said, Hakol lefi hamida, everything depends on the measurement. Meaning it was only based on the kor. If you give 2 kor, then it's double. 3 kor is 3. On that he disagrees. He says, V'chima'ech beslehen la'achvaren. What does it make a difference to the mice? V'haloi oichlis. But they eat, bein meharba or bein mekima. They're eating the same amount. Their stomach takes in the same amount, whether there's a lot of produce or a little. Ella rather says Rabbi Yechim Anuri, Einu yeter lechisroinus, he does not diminish the amount that's lacking, Ella kor echad bilvad, based on the proportion of 1 kor, because the amount that's depreciated, that's missing, is how much the mice eat. Now, they don't eat more than, let's say, for zera pishtin, for flaxseed, more than 3 saw. So, when a kor, we measure 3 saw, but if it's 2 kor, it's not going to be double that amount, because, again, the mice are only eating that amount, no matter how much there is, and therefore it's always going to be the same amount, if it's 1 kor, even 5 kor. Now, Rabbi Hudaimer, he says a different idea. He says that, if the one who gave it to him to watch gave him a large amount, which the Gemara is going to explain, is talking about 10 kor, Then the whole halacha of our Mishnah of taking away what should be lacking based on the time that went by, that less is there, and therefore the one who's returning it to him could take away a little bit, that does not apply when he gave him to watch a large amount like 10 kurim. Because it creates its own excess, so therefore it balances out for what it was lacking. That is because in the days of the granary, when he that gives him the deposit right after he finished processing his dried wheat, that's when the Shomer receives it. Now, when it's the winter months, that's when he gives it back to the guy who gave it to him to watch, then they blow up because of the moisture in the ear. So therefore, although yes, the mice go ahead and they eat from it, which they diminish it, but they don't diminish so much for each kor, where therefore, since they don't eat so much and it's not recognizable by 10 kor, the fact that the wheat itself blows up, that completes the amount that would be lacking for the 2 or 3 kor that the mice eat. That is then balanced out because of the moisture that blows up the wheat. So essentially, although it looks like the same measurement that it was when you received it and you'd want to take away before you give it back to the one that gave it to you, the amount that the mice ate it, it's not true. The mice did eat it. And they took it down one or two or three kor. Then, however, since it blew up, it's right back to what it was. So therefore, you don't diminish it because it's actually the neficha. It's just that bloating, which then is balancing out the amount that the mice ate. And therefore, you give it back as it is. Now, the Gemara asks, however, regarding one of the measurements we mentioned was oiriz, regarding millet. We said that it's 9 half a kavan for a kor. Now, that the Gemara says oiriz, but millet is actually 2 vachas, actually diminishes more than that amount. So why do we say you only have to take away that amount? So Amar Rabba Babachana, Amar Biyechanan, he says, our mission is talking about ba'oriz kalav shanu. It was talking about peeled millet. Peeled millet holds more, it doesn't diminish as much as when it has its husks. That's when it's only going to be 9 half a kavan. So the Mishnah explained that lukus min lazer pishtin for spelt and for flaxseed is gimel saw in lukur is 3 saw for a kor. Now Amr Yechanan Amr Bchia, he explains that another qualification of our Mishnah is zera pishtin begiv oilin shanu. We were learned in that when this halacha was spoken about, and the Mishnah was talking about specifically that the flaxseed is in its husks. That's when it diminishes that amount of 3 saw for a kor. The reason being is because ultimately the husks dry up and they fall off and the wind blows it away. So that takes away from the measurement that was there. But flaxseed that was cleaned already without the husk, that doesn't diminish so much. And therefore you wouldn't be able to take off that much when you're giving it back to the one that gave it to you to watch. As the Gemara said, Tanam Hochi, similar in the Braisa regarding these 2 previous halachas that we explained. The Braisa says, Lekusman for spelt, Ulazer Pishtun begiv oilin, and for flaxseed in its husk, which as we explained, that's the halacha of our Mishnah, and also ula'oyrish she'ein ha'kalof for millet, which is not peeled, which explained the previous halacha that we said, that although our Mishnah said that millet is less, that we said only because it's peeled. But if it's not peeled, then it's actually the same amount, which is larger, as flaxseed and as spelt, which is shalosh sa'ah l'kor, is going to be 3 sa'ah for a kor. That corroborates the 2 halachas that we said, that the halacha of our Mishnah was talking about millet that was peeled. But if it wasn't peeled, as we see in the Brayos, it actually would be more. And also regarding this halacha of the flaxseed, again, was only because it was begivel in its husks. That's why it has that large amount of diminishment, and that's why you could take off 3 saw for a kor. Now the Tanna Kamma said, Hakol lefi amida v'chulu, everything depends on the measurement. This that we say, it's this amount, it's only per kor, but if it's another kor goes up. And also, like we said, lefi hazman, that's per year. But another year, each one would then take off that much more amount. So Tanu learned the Brayos, which explains this halacha, the Mishnah, which it just saying it in specifics, when it says hakol lefi amida means kein l'chol kor v'kor, meaning that's how much it is for every single kor. And this that it said lefi hazman is v'chein l'chol shana v'shana, so too it is for every single year. Now, however, as recorded in the Mishnah, Amr Bichim Anur Bechulu, he disagreed. He says, no, it's always going to be the same. What do the mice care how much you have? They only eat that amount. So whether there's a little or a lot, it's always going to be this amount. Now, Tanya learned the Braisa that Amru Loi Rabbi Yechanan the Chacham, the Tanakama's opinion, they responded back to Rabbi Yechanan, that's not true. It does depend because Harba Oivdeis Mehen is not just the mice. A lot of it gets lost. Harba Mespazes Mehen, a lot of it blows away. And therefore, yes, it is going to be differentiated depending on how much it is and how long it is, because it's not just the mice. Yeah, the mice only eat a certain amount, and then, yes, it would be the same. But there are other factors that play in, and that's why it would make a difference, HaKol Lefi Amida. Now, Tanu Lina Braisa explains this halacha of our Mishnah. But Medivar Mamum, when did we say this halacha of Yotze L'Chisroinis? That when you give it back, you don't give it back as it is. You're going to give it back according to how much would normally be depreciated, diminished by the time that amount of time rolls around. So explains the Braisa, when did we say this? As we already had explained this in when we said the halacha in the Mishnah, is she'ivrin in peiroisa. It's only talking about where if you were watching this guy's peiris and you had mixed it with your own peiris. Avayichli keren zavis, but if he set aside a corner for him to put his stuff and you're watching it over there, then you tell him, here, take your thing as it is, it's yours. What do I care? Something happened to it, didn't happen to it. I'm just giving it back to you what I was watching for you, and here it is. Now the Gemara asks, so the Gemara asks, but why if he mixed it with his own produce, would we have this halacha of a Mishnah? Let's see, how much did he himself have? And then we'll know that the rest was this guy's stuff. And you give him back that amount that was his, and you separate that's yours. Why do we have to go through this whole halach of the Mishnah of calculating how much it's usually chaser, and then you give back less that amount? So the Gemara says, no, because it's been mistopic, ma'am. It's talking about that he had used some of his own stuff. So now he doesn't know how much was his and how much is the other person's. But the Gemara says, why? The legacy can't mistopic. Let him see how much did he use. He had his own stuff besides the guy's stuff that he was watching, this amount. He knows he used this amount, so now he'll know through subtraction how much is that guy's, and just give it back to him. That's his Gemara, Deloyadi Kamez topic. He doesn't know how much he used. Now, so therefore, that was the halacha of the Mishnah teaching us. So you calculate how much would be lacking from this guy's stuff that you were watching, and then proportionately, that's how you know how much you yourself used, because you'll know what's his by separating that amount. You know he gave you that amount to watch, and then you go down and you say, okay, so it's 9.5 a kav for a quarter. You calculate it, then you know what's his, and then you know what's yours. That's where the halacha of the Mishnah comes applicable. Now, the Mishnah ended up by saying, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he said that if it was a large amount, then you don't go ahead and take away anything when you give it back. You give it back to him that amount that he gave him to deposit. So the Gemara is coming me the Ruma. What is a large amount? So Rabbi Bechanan, Rabbi Yechanan, it's a sarakurin. It's 10 kur. Tanya Hoch is similar in the Brisa. That's kama mid meruba. How much is a large amount? A sarakurin is 10 kur. So Tani Tanika mid Rav Nachman, a teacher of Brisa, is taught in front of Rav Nachman the following Brisa. When did we say this halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, that when it's such a large amount that then you don't diminish before you give it back? That's shemadid loy mitoich garnoi. That's only if when he had measured it out to give it to the shomer to watch it for him, he had measured it out from his granary. And then he gave it back to him from his granary, meaning from those same kalim. But if he had measured out to him from his granary, and then when the shomer gave it back to him, he gave back the measurements of his household utensils, not of granary type utensils, then in the then he doesn't give him back to him less than how much we say you always give back, as we said these specifics in Allah of our Mishnah. Because the measurements of the granary were larger than the household utensils. So even though, let's say, he gave him 5 kor, 10 kor, so then when he's giving it back to him, so normally you would go ahead and take away and give back less. You give back, as we said in the Mishnah, the proportion that's less. But here, where he gave him 10 kor of the granary, and he gave him back 10 kor of his own household utensils, well, that itself will offset the loss. And therefore, you won't take off any more, because the fact that using smaller measurements will go ahead and calculate for that amount that's missing. That, omalei, so on that, I asked Rav Nachman to this teacher of the Braisa, what, v'chib b'shof didn't ask him? What are we dealing with, fools? The Yahavi Bekaila Rabba, that what, the mafkid, the one who owns it, that's giving it to the shomer, will give it to him with a large measurement, which those are, that are using the granary. For Shakla Bekaila Zuta, and he'll take back in smaller measurements, that what the household homeowner uses. What do I mean? I gave you 10 of these measurements. You give me back 10 of these measurements? What does that mean? Rather, said Rav Nachman to the teacher of the Brises, Dilma Bimoyis HaGurin Karmet. Maybe the way you were learning it wasn't that it was the measurements of the granary. Maybe what the Bryce is telling us actually is that you said that it was talking about the season of the granary. That's where the halacha was talking about when he had given to him in the season of the granary, which that's near the time when it's dried up, because it dries up in the sun. That's where you could then apply the halacha of the Bryce. And this is what the Bryce is saying. But medvarm, when did we say that what he gives, then when he gives back, he has to diminish, as he could diminish, as the Mishnah teaches us, that shemodud lebimais ha-goyren, mehechz lebimais ha-goyren, where he gives it to him in the time of the granary, and he gives it back to him in the time of the granary. So that's where it's the same amount, same season, so then you go ahead and you give back less. Avamodud lebimais ha-goyren, mehechz lebimais ha-kshamim, but if he measured out to him in the times of the season of the granary, then he gave it back to him, however, in the season of the rain, which that's as we explained the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, where then it blows up during from the moisture of the rain and from the cold, then eino yoytzi lo chisaron. Then he does not take away the amount that it diminishes. Mimneisha meisiris, not meisiris as we learned as the Tana, as this teacher of the Braisa originally had taught it, because the measurements were different. Therefore, it's larger, meaning it offsets it. It's more because of the smaller measurements. No, it's actually more because of the bloating that happens to the produce, and therefore you don't take away because although it seems like you're giving back the same amount that you got, it's not true. It's actually less, and therefore you already offset what the losses were from the mice, and you don't take off any more. It's just because of the moisture. Now, however, on this interpretation, only Rav Papa Abaya, he said, Im kain, but if that's the case, where, and that's the source for Rabbi Yehuda's halacha, and this is the interpretation of this brisa, that it's because it blows up in the winter season. So then, lifka kada. So then, normally, when they fill up these barrels with wheat or with barley in the time, in the summer season, in the granary, and they then close the barrel, then in the winter months, the barrel should be bursting because of the produce that blows up. So how is it possible that's how they manufacture in the summer months when they go ahead and they finish up the granary season, and then in the winter it should be busting all over? So the Gemara answers, you're right. Havo uvdu pokakada. There was a story that the jug burst because yes, in the winter the moisture makes it expand. Or ibaisema. Or if you want, the Gemara says, no, you're right. The reason why usually it does expand, but in the case of what they do when they produce it, the reason why it doesn't bust is mishum itzitza. It's because they compress it, they put it very tight together in the barrel, which doesn't allow for it to accept the moisture and then to expand. That's why it doesn't. But generally, if a guy's watching a certain amount and then it's not tight in the jug, then he'll diminish the amount before he gives it back to the individual. Again, but besides when he got it in the summer and then he gives it back in the winter, where then it offset already that amount, really, but it's taking into consideration how much it lost, then you give back the amount as it is. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, discussing how much is it that when someone's watching something and then it gets mixed up with his own things, so he doesn't give back the exact measurement they got because there's a certain amount of attrition that gets lost. So he gives them back proportionally for how much the loss is. So it says the Mishnah, Yaitzi Leishtus Leyayin. So too, if let's say he gave him a deposit of wine to watch from, they got mixed with his own wine, and since the barrels absorb the wine itself, that considers for the amount of the loss, up to a sixth of the wine, so you give back a less than a sixth from how much that he gave him to watch. I mean, he says chaymish. He says you give back you take away a fifth of the wine for the consideration of the barrel, which absorbs some of the wine. Now, yaitzi le'shleisha lugin shemen lemeya. Now, when he gets a deposit of oil, he takes away, before he gives it back to him, less than three lugan less than how much he got from. And the reason being is because you have lugan mechtzah shmarm. You have, although he got wine, but then you have a lugan half that are sediments, which settle in the bottom. Those become the PC part. Therefore, that gets lost. And lugan mechtzah bala, you have a lugan half that gets absorbed into the barrel. Those things, which are again, losses of the wine, those are normal processes. And if you don't give back the whole amount, you take away three lug. Now, but, says the Mishnah, im hoi shemen mezukuk, but if it was refined oil, then then he doesn't take away for how much the sediments are, because there are none, because he gave him refined oil. And if there were old barrels that they were deposited in, then he doesn't take away for how much is absorbed, because nothing actually gets lost. It's actually already, there's no room in the walls of the barrel, because it's already absorbed from old stuff, and therefore then you wouldn't take away anything. Rabbi Huda Aimer, he says that this halacha that we mentioned this in the previous Mishnah, that regarding deposits, that you take away certain amounts. So he says, just like we say this halacha by a mafkid, by a deposit, so too we say this, af ha-moicher shemen mezukuk l'chaveroi, so too if someone sells refined oil to his friend, kol yemei sashana, for all the days of the year, and that he gives him from his barrel, which he's constantly using, which is refined oil, harei zeh, so then the consumer has to be mekabel olav, he accepts upon himself to diminish from what he's expecting, that he's paying for 100, an amount for 100, that he has to take off lugu mechtzah shmarm lemeya, a lug and a half of sediments for 100. So if let's say he sold him 100 lug and he's giving it to him throughout the year, he comes every day, every Shabbos to get that amount. So then although he sold him 100, he only ends up getting 98 and a half because he takes away lug and a half for the sediments of the oil that he's selling him, just like you have to expect this regarding the halachas of pekud, and so to applies to halachas of sales. Now the Gemara says that this that we mentioned in our Mishnah regarding the wine, do you take away a sixth or a fifth before you give it back? So it says the Gemara, v'loi pligi, actually Tanakam and Rav Yehuda are not disagreeing. Because Mar Kiastri, each one was just explained according to the location of where he lived, how much was diminished. because Ba'asri Demar, in the place of the Tana Kama, Chafu Bekira, they would smooth out their barrels from within. They would cover it with wax, which as Rashi said, like we do with pitch, with tar. Now, therefore, wax is v'lemayit tzfei. It doesn't absorb that much into the walls, so it only takes up till a sixth. But Ba'asi Demar, in the location of Rabbi Yehuda, Chafu Bukufra, they would smooth it with pitch, with tar, and therefore mayit tzfei. It would absorb more, and therefore it would take up to a fifth. And if you only give back a fifth. Or Yibay Seymour, if you want, you could say, actually it's Mishum Gargishta. The differential between them is because of what type of earth would they use to make their barrels out of. Because Ha, in the place of Rabbi Yehuda, mayit tzfei. The earth that they used would absorb more than the place of the Tana Kama. V'ha, loy mayit tzfei. And the earth that in the place of where the Tana Kama was didn't absorb that much, and therefore only talk up to a sixth. Now, the Gemara brings a story unrelated to the interpretation of our Mishnah, that Ba'asri de Rav Yehuda, but it relates to the halachas that we're discussing, in the place of Rav Yehuda, Ramu Arbam Vitamne Kuze, they would place a measurement of 48 Kuze, which Kuze was a small measurement in the place of Rav Yehuda, so they would put in 48 Kuze, Bedana, in a barrel. So they would fill up 48 Kuze, which is a certain amount of measurement, in their regular barrels. Now, Ozel Dana Beshita Zuzi. Now, at the time of the harvest, 6 zuz would be the price that would fetch one of these barrels, which was, again, 48 kuzi. Paris Rav Yehuda, when Rav Yehuda became a merchant, and he would sell it, so he would buy this barrel for 48 kuzi, he would buy for 6 zuz. Then he himself, as a retailer, would sell shita, he would take 6 of the kuzi and sell each one bezuzi for his zuz. So as the Gemara continues to Amud Beis, so dal tlasin b'shita, if you take away from this 48 kuzi, if you take away 36 of these kuzi, b'shita, for the 6 zuz that he paid to get that barrel in the first place, so partially tracer, so you're left with 12 kuzi, which is profit, because you're ready for the 6 zuzi, since he sold each one of these kuzi, he got to a total of 32, he already paid up his amount. So yeah, he has 12 left over for himself. But dal tamanya, take away 8, because that's shtusi, that's a sixth of the 48 kuzi that he bought, which as we explained before, and that's what we're introducing the story, which is normative for the barrel to absorb, as the Tana, the Mishnah said, up to a sixth of the wine. So pashluhu, so he was left for his profit margin, was arbo, was out of the 48 kuzi, he was left for 4 kuzi that he has profit. Now, on this, the Gemara asks, V'amr Shmuel, but Shmuel said, Hamistaker, somebody that gains, that is in business, in things that people need to survive on, which wine is one of them, Al Yistaker Yesal Shtus, should not have a profit margin more than a sixth. Now, what the halacha implies is that, but a sixth, he could make a profit. So why did Rabbi Huda not make a profit of a sixth? He actually made 1/12, only half of a sixth. Whereas Taisa says, seemingly he had other customers, so why did he shortchange himself? Why did he only make a 12th? So I think Gemara answers, no, Ika Gulfi Vishamaria, because he actually was making profit not just on the 4 kuzi that he was left with, because when he bought the 48 kuzi, it came with the barrel. So he has the barrel and he has the sediments, which he bought that all for 6 zuz. So that's a higher profit margin. No, so the Gemara asks, actually, Ihachi Nafesh Leit Famish, that would actually make it more than a sixth. So then how was he allowed to sell those products for that amount when he's making more than the sixth? So the Gemara answers, no, you have to offset, there's also expenses. Ikatarche, there is his effort that he has to put in, which he could charge for that. Besides for the product itself, he's charging for his effort. And v'dmei barzin yasa, which one interpretation is Rashi from the word that the Gersa was karzin yasa, that first of all, he has to pay money for the storekeeper to sell it, and to announce it, and for marketing, and for advertisement, to announce it, that's karzin yasa, from the term of karza, which the kar is of announcement. Or like the girsa that we have, which is barzin yasa, which from the word of barza, which he had to hire a guy who knows how to make the spigot and the hole, and to be able to tap the wine out from the barrel, which was a certain profession, and he had to pay the guy. So that's expenses too, and therefore that offsets the profit margin that he had, and therefore he didn't make more than a sixth. Now the Gemara had said that im hayu shemen mezukuk, if it was refined oil, then Eino Yetzel Loi Shmarim V'chulu, then although we said that it's three lugan that you take away from oil, but then it's only going to be 1.5 lugan, because refined oil you can't diminish from the Shmarim because there are no sediments. And moreover, if it's all barrel, we said, then you don't diminish even that 1.5 because there's no absorption of the keg, of the jug, because although it was made out of earthenware and it would absorb, here it wouldn't absorb because it's already absorbed from previous absorptions that it has in the wall. Now, but on that thing, I'm going to ask, well, EF should delay ball. It's not possible, even if it's an old barrel, that it shouldn't absorb something. And if it's absorbing, so why are you not diminishing anything before you give it back to the mafkid? Some Rav Nachman explains, you're right. Besides the fact that they're old barrels, which already had old absorptions in them, it also was covered with pitch. And therefore, with those two factors, then it's not going to absorb anything. Whereas Abayam, he says, no, and we could even say it's even that it wasn't tarred. But keeping the ton, which is since it carried, in other words, it will not absorb anything else, even if it's not covered with anything, because it already has, it's full with pleas, it's already totally absorbed inside, it has no more room molecularly to take in anything, and therefore, if it's an old barrel, you cannot diminish that 1.5 lugan of the absorption. Now the Mishnah then concluded and said, "Behuda Aimer." He says, "Afa meichir shemin mezukah lechaveri kol yemei sashana." The same halacha applies not just the halachas that we're discussing over here of a mafkid of deposits, but also for sales. If someone took upon himself responsibility to sell somebody a certain amount of oil for the season of the year, harizim makamba the love luga mechza shemam lemeya, so that purchaser accepts. He realizes he's not going to get the full 100. He's going to get 100 minus 1.5, again, because of the sediments that he has to consider that are a byproduct of the oil. Whereas the Chacham, they disagree and they don't hold that the same halacha would apply to sales. This Abaya explains. He says, Kishatim Tzolayma. If it would be that you could say, in other words, if you would analyze and get to the crux of the discussion over here of their machlekes, you could explain as follows. The Divi Rabbi Huda, according to the opinion of Rabbi Huda, if someone is selling want oil to his friend, generally doesn't make any specifications, but he's selling it at a time when the oil is refined, whereas the reason why it's refined is because the sediments had already calmed and settled down to the bottom of the barrel, so whatever's coming out through the spigot is coming out refined oil. That according to Behuda, mutala arv, really the seller is permitted to mix together the shemarim, the sediments which had settled on bottom, to make them come back and be mixed up into the oil, that it should come out in the measurement of the oil that he's selling and giving to the purchaser. Whereas L'Divrei Chachamim, but says Abaye, and he's going to explain in a moment, but according to the Chachamim, it would really come out that their opinion is based on the principle that the one who's selling it is forbidden to mix the sediments that are on the bottom, because when this guy's buying, he's buying on the assumption that it's refined oil, and now this guy's ruining it by mixing it together, so he wouldn't be allowed to go ahead and mix it up together. That's how Abaye explains their opinions, as he explains. The Divrei Behuda, according to the opinion of Behuda, mutal arav shmarim, a guy who's selling, is allowed to mix up together the sediments that are on the bottom to make it into this murky type of oil. Now, behainu taima de mekabel. Now, that is the reason why Rabbi Huda explained that the lekech, the consumer, accepts upon himself a lug and a half of sediments, meaning if he doesn't mix it together and instead he gives him refined oil, that he says, okay, you know, I realize you could have given it to me, as Rabbi Huda's halacha is based on that, explains Abaya, and you didn't, so for that which I would have lost with those sediments, I'll take off that loss by the fact that you're giving it to me refined. Because the amale, it's because the seller could tell to the lekech, I boy la ruvilach, had I wanted to mix together the sediments for you, miloy avrilach would have not been able to mix for you, as Rabbi Huda's halacha is based on that principle that he could have. So hashtin namik kabel, so now also accept it as if you would have had it. You would have had to get rid of it anyway, and you couldn't use the sediments. It's not something that has the utility for the oil. So therefore, I didn't mix it, but at least take away that amount. I'm not going to give you 100, I'm giving you 98.5. Now, on that the Gemara asked, but the lemele, but let the consumer tell the farmer, the manufacturer, what do you mean? It's not true. Had you mixed it together when you had sold it to me, I would have been able to sell it. I'm a retailer. I buy from you from the manufacturers. I could have sold it in my store and it would have been sold, the sediments with the oil. But now that you separated it, you only sold me refined oil, what can I do with it? No one's buying from me sediments. That won't sell in the store. So it's actually not true. I bought 100. You should have given me 100. And the fact that it would have been sediments, fine, but I would be able to sell it anyway because I'm a retailer. People will come and buy from me. Now that you gave me refined, that I should now cut off a lug and a half that you didn't give me because of sediments, that's not true. Because now you can't just give me those sediments. Now I have no utility. If you would have given me mixed together, then I would have been happy like that because I could have sold it off to other people. So that the Gemara answers, you're right, but Bala Bayis Askinan. The halacha of Rabbi Yehuda is talking about is where the purchaser, the consumer, is a homeowner, where he takes it to use for the food in his own house. With the nichle betzila, he prefers actually that it's refined. And therefore, yes, it would have been actually an effort for him to have to sift out the sediment that if it would have been sold together. So yes, that's what Rabbi Yehuda's halacha is. He takes away the lug and the half because I'm happy you did that service to me and you didn't mix it together. But of course, I would have been able to have the sediments. And now that you didn't give it to me, he takes off that amount. But still the Gemara asks, but let the consumer tell to the seller, arvisly, from the fact that you didn't mix it together to me, you could have, you're right, you could have. And maybe you should have, because I bought 100 from you. You should have sold me 100. From the fact that you didn't mix it, achuliaklusly. So then actually you were meichle to me. You were forgiving it to me because you could have done, you didn't. So you were meichle to me. That doesn't mean I have to now cut off a lug and a half. You should still have to give me all 100 lugan. So I think I'm going to explain to Yehuda l'tamei. Yehuda goes according to his opinion. The lesle mechila, he doesn't hold of from the fact that when we look at the data, that we see that there's a discrepancy, there must have been that, oh, he was meichel, oh, here the guy could have mixed it together and he didn't, it must have been a meichel. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of that. That's not, like we learned the same concept in the Mishnah Baba Basra. The Mishnah there says that mochel lo yasa tzemed, if someone sells to somebody the yoke, which tzemed means a pier, which was used to put on two oxen, to pier them together, to use as a yoke for them to plow together. So if someone was selling this tzemed, loy mochel lo yasa bakar, that doesn't automatically mean that he sold him the pair of the animals themselves. And mochel lo yasa bakar, if he sells him the animals, loy mochel lo yasa tzemed, that doesn't automatically mean that he sold them the yoke. Now, Yehuda, he says, hadam imaydin. Not true. He says, the money will tell us if he sold together, when he sold one thing, if that was including the other item too. Kate said, how so? If he told him, sell me your yoke for 200 zuz, says Rabbi Yehuda, hadav yadua, so then it's obvious from the data, she'enat tzemed, that the yoke is not sold, but mesayim zuz. Nobody buys a yoke for 200 zuz. It's obvious that when he meant sell me the yoke, he meant with the cattle that you're selling me both for them. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. The sages say, ein hadam imraya, that the money is not a proof, meaning, even though the yoke is not worth 200 zuz, must be, say the chachamim, that the lekeach, although really the price maybe is 100 or 50, he must be that he was happy he's getting this yoke, maybe it was hard for him to find, and he was meichel for the rest of the extra money. And therefore it's not proof. Maybe he wasn't buying the baka with it, and it was only getting the yoke. Now, Rabbi Yehuda obviously does not hold that a guy would just generally, we assume that he's being meichel, unless he specifies. And therefore, that's where Yehuda disagreed over there, and he said that, no, if a guy gave 200, it's obvious that he wanted it together with the bakar, and not just the tzemed. Because again, Yehuda does not assume, unless we know for sure, any mechila. So to over here, Yehuda is not assuming mechila, rather, I could have done it, and we're not assuming mechila, and therefore, from the fact that I didn't, so therefore I'm going to take away from the refined oil that I'm selling you, that log and a half. That explains the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Divrei Chachamim, Asur La'arav Shamarim, says Abaya, whereas the opinion of the Chacham is that you're forbidden to mix together the sediments when you're selling the oil, when you're giving the oil to the person that you sold it to. Now, behind your time, Adolei Mekabel. Now, for that reason is why the consumer does not accept a diminishment of a lug and a half from the 100 lug of oil that he bought for the year. Because the Amar Lei, because he tells to the Meicher, Iba Isa Leruve, had you wanted to mix it to me, would you be allowed to? You wouldn't be allowed to. I'm not accepting now diminishing anything. You weren't allowed to mix it anyways. What do I owe you? I don't owe you anything. You owe me the 100 lug. Give me the 100 lug. That's the machlek is between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. Now, however, Amalei Rapapa L'Abaye. Rapapa asks on the interpretation of Abaye, who explains the fundamental principle of their machlokes. He says, "Adrabba ipchem estaba." To the contrary, the logic would be the opposite way. Why? He says, "L'divrei chachamim," it would actually come out that according to the chachamim, their opinion is based on the fact that mutar la'arav shamarim, that they hold that you're actually allowed to mix the sediments together with the oil. Now, behind the time with lemekabel, but the reason why the lekech does not accept any of the diminishment is because the amale midaloya raftali, because the lekech could tell the meicher from the fact that you didn't mix it to me achuli achlessly, that you were meichel to me. The chum hold that there is such a concept, not like a Yehuda. So if you didn't give it, you could have given it to me. Must be that you were meichel for me. Whereas l'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, also la'arav shemam, says it's Rabbi Yehuda who's the one that holds that you're not allowed to mix together sediments. Now, behind the time of the Makabal, now the reason why that would then mean that the Lekech is Makabal, why would it be Makabal? What do you mean? You can't mix it together, so what do I owe you? Is because the Amale is because the seller could tell to the Lekech, look, Iboyela Ruve, the halacha is, if I would want to mix together the sediment with the oil, Loishari Lila Ruvelach, I'm not permitted to mix together the sediments with the oil. So, Kabuli Lo Mikabalas, so you're not going to accept upon yourself the loss that I have, meaning the diminishment of the sediments, so then what exactly am I going to have a profit? The whole profit is in the sediment amount. Zavin v'zabin, buy and sell, tagari ikri, is called a merchant, is called a businessman, which is a muscle, an analogy they say to a fool, that, okay, buy something for a certain amount of money, and sell it for that same amount of money. And then what, you're a merchant, you're not making a penny. You bought it that amount, you sold it that amount. So too, that's the opinion of Rabbi Huda, to the contrary, because he cannot mix it together. So how exactly am I going to make money? That amount of the profit is in the sediments, therefore must be that you have to be makabel on yourself. That loss, that amount of the lug and a half, because or else there's no profit, and that's obvious that a seller is not selling anything for free. So we have this machlekes between Rav Papa and Abaya regarding the opposite interpretations of this machlekes regarding who is it that says you're allowed to mix the shemarim and who is it that says you're not allowed to mix the shemarim. So that was regarding the sediments. So similar discussion, Tanu learned in Abraisa, Echad halakech of Echad amafkad, as we compared in our Mishnah, Rabbi Huda said a comparison between buying and of a deposit. So says the Braisa, whether one is buying or whether one is giving a deposit, they're the same regarding lifkatim. Meaning they have the same halacha regarding the refuse of the seeds which float on the top of the oil, regarding that scum, they have the same halacha. So the Gemara says, my lifkatim, what is this that we're saying that regarding halachas of pekadin and of mechira, that they share the same halacha? Ilema, if you want to say ki hechad lekech lo mekabel pekadim, just like a consumer does not accept that refuse that comes to the top of the oil, mafkid namer lo mekabel pekadim, so too the one who gave the deposit, when he's getting it back, says to the one who's watching for him, I'm not taking that refuse that's on the top. That's not what I gave you. On that, the Gemara asks, v'lemele, but why? Let the shamer tell to the one who gave it to him, fiktecha mayavid lehu, what am I going to do with this refuse? It's not mine. It's all yours. Why wouldn't he be allowed to give it back to him? Because that's the thing that he watched. That's what happens. The scum comes to the top. So how would we understand why by a mafkid you wouldn't be able to just give it back to him? Ella rather, ki hecha de mafkid mekabel pekadim, rather, so what would you say? What's the comparison between these two things that Bryce is saying? Is that just like the one who gave the deposit, when he's getting back his oil, he would take it back with the scum on the top, lekech namen mekabel pekadim, so too, a consumer, if let's say someone sells him oil, doesn't define what type of oil he's selling him, he has to accept oil with scum on the top. That the Gemara asks, but ami mekabel lekech pekadim, is that really true that a consumer accepts pekadim? That he has to take when he's buying, he gets that residue from the seeds on the top. But the Tanya and the Braisa, not like that. The Braisa says, Yehuda Omer, he says, Le Amru Shemen Acher. They didn't say that there's a loss of the murkiness of oil, which comes from this scum. El Lamoichel Bavad. That's only the loss of the seller. Shari Lekech Mekabalav, because already the consumer accepted upon himself to diminish from the 100 lug that he bought, he already took away a lug of mechza, a lug and a half, because of the shemarim, because of the sediments. So therefore, if he already took away that, you have to now give him refined oil, belay pekatim, without the scum on the top. So therefore, that contradicts the first price. If we interpret it, that means to say that a mafkid has to take kamatim, so to lekech, this price says clearly that lekech does not take the kamatim. So the Gemara says, lekash, that's not a difficulty. Ha, the first brisa that said that the lekech has to take that scum on the top is the Yov Leizuzi B'Tishrei, is where when he bought the oil, he gave him money in Tishrei time. Now, but V'Kushokol Minei B'Nisan, but he ended up taking the oil from him in Nisan time, but he took it from him then, Kimida, like the price value of the Tishrei, which he had given in Tishrei, which was cheaper. Now, the reason being is because in Tishrei, when the oil is just produced, the oil at that point is still murky. It still has the scum in there. Now, but now when he's taking it, he's taking a refined oil. So therefore, since he's paying the cheaper price, for that price, you're accepting upon yourself the pekatim. And therefore, the first price I said that lekech has to take the pekatim. And if he's taking refined oil in Nisan, but then you got to take away that amount. Ha, but the second price is the yov lezuzi benisan, as we paid him in Nisan time. Because shakum in ibn Nisan, kimid the Nisan, and he's taking from him in Nisan as the price of Nisan, which is the more expensive price, because that's when it's normative for the oil to be already refined already by the time it reaches Nisan time. And therefore, someone that buys in Nisan time or sells it at that time, the assumption is he's selling him refined oil, and therefore then, as we said, that loss has to be for the meicher. You can't go ahead and give the consumer when he bought for the more expensive price with the scum on the top. So therefore, that resolves it depending when you buy it. If it's at more expensive price, then it's without the scum. The cheaper price is with the scum. And therefore, since it's taken from Nisan, although then it's refined, but then you would have to consider with taking it with the scum, again, because he paid for that cheaper price.